The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money. It's not news. Think of it more as news-ish. It's the Wally Show.
Home is supposed to be the place you find rest, where you can be yourself and loved unconditionally, but it can also be the place you get nagged at the most.
No comment.
Same.
The minute you said the word nag, every guy was like, I'm out. I'm not even gonna talk about this, because there's something about that word that sends women into just complete insanity.
Well, because it's usually associated with the women.
Right.
But I stand to say that men are just as culpable of doing this too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I found this thing that laid out the top things that households nag each other about. So let's see.
Yes and yes.
Let's see if any of these count for you and Marty and Gavin and Haley.
Here's what we'll do. I will be honest. I'll say whether it's me or my wife's problem.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So go for it.
Not replacing the toilet paper.
Wife. Unbelievable.
Your wife nags more, or she doesn't.
She doesn't do it.
Oh, she doesn't.
No.
Oh, that's shocking.
I know, right? That is the weirdest thing.
Do you nag her about it?
No. I'm smarter than that.
Gavin.
It's funny because my wife nags me for it, but she's the one who's more guilty of it.
See, exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Okay, what about this? Not cleaning up after yourself in general. That means like leaving dirty clothes out, shoes, dirty dishes all over the house.
Yeah, my wife, not nags, my wife consults me.
Consults. Well done, sir.
Thank you. Yes, yes. So
what about you, Gavin?
I think that my wife leaves more around, but she does more, you know, arts and crafts projects and all of this stuff. But she also leaves her clothes everywhere. She tries on like 5 outfits, and then I come home and I see the other 4 outfits still on the bed.
Oh.
And sometimes she'll be like, "Why don't you fold my laundry?"
Maybe you should consult her about it.
Yes, I'm telling you, that might be the best term.
And finally, not turning lights off when you leave a room.
Oh, yes. That I'm guilty of that, so my wife is constantly telling me about that.
Have you changed your ways?
I'm more mindful of it. I'm mindful of it. I'm taking it under advisement. But no, I do find myself going back and like as I'm out the door. It's weird because I'll leave it and I see it and I know I need to go off, but I don't want to stop and go back in. So I try to get it as I'm walking out the door and I like flash my hand at it. And if I happen to actually hit it and it goes out, then we're good. But I don't go back. If I miss it on that flailing, then I just keep going.
Always move forward.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I do it. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. If you've ever been in a situation and just wanted to immediately extract yourself from it, you'll know how I felt. My wife had a doctor's appointment. She had her hip replaced a year ago, and so we went to the doctors together, and we're there. And she didn't tell me the last question that she had in her head floating around there. We went through everything, great appointment, and then she goes, "Hey, real quick, on Grey's Anatomy," and I just watched the doctor's face go, like he's like, "Here it goes, bring it," like some amateur doctor now, like that you think you are because you watched Grey's Anatomy.
And those aren't even real doctors.
No, those are
just people writing shows.
And I know they base things off of medical cases and stuff like that, but she's like, there was an episode where somebody's hip replacement was leaching cobalt into their body, and it affected them, and he's like,
"See, that show can plant little seeds in your head, and then you can't let it go."
Oh yeah, she thought she had cobalt leaching, I think, and so she. I just want to make sure, but like I could tell he was like not like he was a good sport about it, but he's like, "Okay, it made his job harder, you know? And I think that, like, WebMD has made doctors' jobs harder because we go in self-diagnosing what the problem is. And so I think TV and movies have done certain professions a disservice because they make us all pseudo-experts on something, or they make it harder to do your job.
And maybe you've seen this play out in your own life. You know, you work for a bank or some kind of home improvement company, and you've had customers come to you with these questions based off of things they've seen on TV, and you're like, that's not realistic.
When I bought my house, we had white banisters, and I told the builder, I said, oh, well, I'm just going to cut those out, and I'll replace them with wrought iron ones, later, because it's cheaper. And he just looks at me and goes, good luck with that. And I'm like, oh, challenge accepted, sir.
Oh,
and I kind of crushed it because I know what I'm doing. But I get, like, he's heard that from so many people, so yeah. I understand it. So I am curious for you. Do you have a job or profession where TV or movies have made your job more difficult? Kind of like my wife's doctor. I mean, he just looked at me and I looked at him. I'm like, I want to leave. I'm so sorry. Come on, honey. Let's get out of here.
She's like, Dr. McDreamy made it seem like.
Yeah, why'd you call him McDreamy? 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. We'll take yours now. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. 855-33-WAY-FM. Now, what do you do for a living?
I'm a dental hygienist. I've been working for the same dentist for 28 years, so.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you got a lot of time in the game. Do you find that people watching television shows or movies make it tougher on you to do your job? Like, maybe they come in with advice on what you should do or self-diagnosed?
Yes, actually, I do find that's true, especially sometimes movies, because, you know, the Hollywoods always have the great teeth. But I find the commercials are the worst, because people come in expecting you to be able to get their teeth really white. And you're like, yeah, it doesn't quite work like that. And my dentist tells everybody, he said, you know how 4 out of 5 dentists recommend? He said, I'm the 5th dentist. I don't recommend that.
So, Tim, what do you do for a living?
I'm a pawnbroker.
A pawnbroker. Okay, so has a TV show, and I think I know the one you're probably going to mention, made your job more difficult?
Yes, it has. Everybody comes in expecting to get top dollar for what they brought in.
Because of Pawn Stars?
Exactly, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, because Pawn Stars is definitely kind of scripted and orchestrated. I would say orchestrated to have these really great items come in, these rare treasures and things that are $50,000 to $100,000. Has anybody ever come in with, like, a $100,000 stamp? Because that's what happens on Pawn Stars.
No, not yet. We haven't had anything like that yet.
Do you find that because of the TV show Pawn Stars, people have an unrealistic expectation of what they're going to get for their item?
Yes. I had a guy come in yesterday with a bat. He said, this is a $350 bat. It was a used aluminum bat. And I'm like, no, that's not $350. Sorry.
Like, what do you give somebody on something like that? Like, 20 bucks?
No, we had no use for it, really. It was just a used aluminum bat. It really wasn't worth anything.
Wonder why he thought it was worth something.
They go on eBay, and they'll say, oh, on eBay, this is $1,000. What they don't realize, on eBay, somebody's asking $1,000 for something.
Right.
Doesn't mean they sold it for that much.
Maybe because he actually got a hit with it and won a game, he felt it was worth that much. He was like, this is the best bat ever. I hate to part with it, but you know, this is a game-winning bat.
And there's Tim just killing everybody's dreams.
Yeah, that's what they paid me for.
Every time you start a new year, you know, you start thinking about new year, new you. So what are you going to do in 2022? I made that rhyme. but, I mean, it is a good question, like, because it's easy to, you know, start something and then not finish it, you know, and that's where a lot of people run into with their college education, like, for whatever reason, they got sidetracked. So maybe this is the year that you finish your education, or maybe this is the year you've been putting it off, you know, because life got in the way, and you say, you know what, I'm going to make 2022 to my year. I'm going to start doing something and you know, invest in myself this year. I think that's a great way, because we talk about getting in shape, and that's a good thing, but why not get your mind in shape?
Right. You can go back to school, and Colorado Christian University Online makes that possible. They offer a flexible online format that works for your schedule, allowing you to take a class at any time. That's exactly what I did when I went back to college at 30 years old.
Yeah.
And I had to work a full-time job, but I also did my college degree, and I made it happen.
I did mine as well online, my master's, and I was sitting there at a campfire entire on vacation writing a paper, but you can make it happen. You don't just dream it. You have to do it. And it starts with making that decision to make that call or go online and say, you know what? I want to talk to somebody about this. You can go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And if you're worried about the costs of it, you can talk to them about financial aid and they can help walk you through that as well. So Betty Rock did it. I've done it. And Colorado Christian University might be just the thing for you in 2022.
Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart.
If it's important to your family,
we have something very exciting to tell you that you have never heard before.
Then it matters to us on The Wally Show.
If you do the shopping for your house and you've probably already felt the sting of rising prices at the grocery store, but what can you do? Well, here's some advice from a shopping expert.
Ooh.
Let's see if you agree with the shopping expert. Tip number one, buy frozen fish. Okay, he says, while the cost of meat is up 21% and fresh seafood is up 11%, he said, go to the frozen section.
Ooh.
That's always where I go.
Fish sticks, right?
Yes!
they're the best.
Like, they have a whole meat section at most grocery stores, and they have the fish all laid out there. I've never bought a fresh piece of fish. I always get it frozen. Like, where do you shop? Whole Foods in New York? Like, who is this guy that goes to the random, like, counter there? Because a lot of times, too, when you look at the counter, because I do buy shrimp, and I've tried to buy it before in a specific way that I like it prepared, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like they will say in small print, previously frozen. So when they run out of shrimp there, they go to the freezer section, open the bag, and pour it on there. I swear to you. His other one was opt for pre-wrapped cheeses. I didn't know they came any other way.
Okay, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, this is not a list for normal human beings.
I don't think so either. Each of my Kraft singles has got itself wrapped up by itself.
My, like, Velveeta box of cheese is fine.
It's wrapped up. Where are you buying cheese that doesn't come individually wrapped? I have no idea. Now, this one, okay, so those two were crazy, admittedly, for most of us, but this one actually makes sense. Check the ounces on your ice cream, and here's why. While the prices have stayed the same for ice cream, a lot of companies are giving you less. So what used to be 16 ounces of ice cream might be 12 now. So you're paying the same price, but getting less product. And it happens with ice cream, and it's happening with other products as well, where, you know, you feel like you're not spending any more money, but you're getting less of what you buy.
Wow.
So there you go.
Okay.
The weird fish cheese guy came up with a good one there at the end, you know.
And so that means I need to get that big plastic bucket full of ice cream.
Yeah, that,
like,
tub.
Not the nice kind, but the big cheap.
No, you
guy.
Get the cheap kind. Exactly. but again, check the ounces, because you might be paying a little bit more.
I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And there was this TikTok trend, I thought, where it started was like, tell me you're a blank without telling me you're a blank. Mm-hmm. So by the description or what you say, then it obviously means you love this thing. And so I started thinking about this. I thought, you know what? As guys, sometimes we're not always the best at sharing our emotions with our wives, our words.
That is true. I think it's something that the world says, well, you have to be manly. You can't show your emotions.
Right.
You can't cry. But that's not true.
No, not at all. And so I try my best. But we're going to do tell me you love your spouse without telling me you love your spouse. Because it's easy to say, I love you, but show me a way. And who
That's
knows,
right.
Like, your weird little way might make somebody think, oh, wow, I could actually do that with my wife.
Because love can be shown through action. Sometimes that speaks louder than words.
Yep.
So maybe there's that unique little thing that you and your spouse do that it's your way of sacrificing and showing love.
I'll go first. So tell me you love your spouse without telling me you love your spouse. I give her the first sip of every soda I open.
Because that's the best sip.
It's always the best sip.
Does she want it?
Yeah. First sip is always the best sip. When I crack open a Coke, like, she likes Coke as well, but, like, she can be in another room, and you go, and, like, she'll be like, did you get a soda? Like, literally, like, it's almost like an animal walking to their food bowl when you hear the food bowl clink. She's like, hey! Like, I could have not seen her for months, and, like, all of a sudden just go, and she'll appear. It's the weirdest thing. She could be in another state. I'll get a FaceTime. Hey, did you just get a soda? Like, what? How? And so I always give her the first sip, even though it is the best sip. So what is yours? 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. Tell me you love your spouse without telling me you love your spouse. That's mine. What's yours?
Okay, I'm going to share what my spouse does for me because it means so much. So I'm going to flip the script just a little bit. He makes the bed every morning, and that means the world to me.
Oh, that's not nothing. I know my wife, if she's ever traveling or if we're traveling together and we're getting ready, I always make the bed for when she comes home because she loves to come home to a bed that's made. I don't do it every day because I don't want her to get too comfortable.
But well, my honey does it every single day, and when we come home from work, there's just something about at the end of a long day getting in a freshly made bed.
I have a question for you, Caitlin. How many throw pillows do you have on the bed? Because is this a big task for him?
It is. Yeah. It is. We have about 9 regular pillows and 3 throw pillows.
For the love, that guy loves you. That guy loves you. Don't ever, ever speak badly of him because that's a lot of work. What do you got?
Okay, well, I was actually going from the opposite direction. I was just going to say what my husband does to show me he loves me without saying anything. Every morning, he doesn't have to go to work. So even though he doesn't have to get up at all, and I do, I get up early, he gets up, he makes my coffee, he goes out, he starts my car, turns it around, backs it in, puts my coffee out there, waits for me to get done getting ready, walks me out, opens my door for me, and puts me in my car for me to go to work. Every morning.
Wow.
No matter the weather. Yes.
Now, let me ask you this. Is this your husband or do you have a butler? Because the jobs are similar.
I know. It's precious. He's my husband and it's precious. And he makes me feel so loved every single morning. That's how he starts my day.
How was this started, Nicole? Like, was this something that you told him that would mean something to you, or did he just do it on his own?
No, he just did it on his own. And he always opens my door wherever we go. And everywhere we go, people comment on it.
Yeah, he made the mistake. He did it once. And
I know.
It. What do you do when he's out of town, Nicole? I mean, do you feel lost? Do you even
So
eat?
I absolutely feel helpless, and I'm not sure what to do. Sometimes I'm like, what do I do? How am I supposed to do this without you? He loves me when he's gone because I'm like, wow, he does so much for me every single morning.
Yeah, he travels just so he can have a break.
Stop it!
What do you got?
I love my spouse. He collects action figures, and they are Godzilla particularly, and we use them as decor, including this year in my Christmas village.
Wait a minute. Oh, that's great. Oh, my gosh. You might be the coolest wife ever, because a lot of times guys will have hobbies, and wives own the house, kind of, and we get the garage, and so they don't want our stuff getting in and messing up the house and the look, the aesthetic of the house.
Understandably.
Yeah, like, so you're usually relegated to a room, a collection room, and you let him have his stuff out about in the house where, like, human people that visit can see it?
Not everywhere. Like, not on the mantle of the fireplace, which he tried, but, you know, not everywhere. But, yeah, his stuff is able to be seen. But then for me, he makes the coffee every morning. He puts it on my nightstand before he goes to work. You know, it makes it easier to have Godzilla in my Christmas village.
You've probably seen a ton of commercials about refinancing your home because interest rates are so low right now. Hey, it's Wally, and you may have thought about this and thought, I don't even fully know what all the words they're saying mean. So my buddy Ryan from United Faith Mortgage is here to simply break down how refinancing your home works.
With the values of homes going up, you know, if you have a mortgage balance of, let's say, $200,000, and your value has increased to, say, $400,000, you have $200,000 worth of equity available to you. Now, you can only go up to 80% financing what the value of the home is, but you're able to take that money out of the home for whatever you may choose, whether it's paying off credit cards, doing home improvements, whatever it may be.
Is there paperwork? Yes, but I'll be honest, not as much as I thought, and United Faith Mortgage makes the process easy. And trust me, when you receive your check, it's all worth it. United Faith Mortgage. Start online, call anytime. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
It's not news. Think of it more as news-ish. It's the Wally Show.
All right, Gavin, what you got?
Do you guys remember a conversation we had a long time ago about, like, who would survive better on, like, an island?
Me.
Betty. Oh.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew the answer to that. Me. You know it's true. You guys all know it's true.
Gavin, for sure. He'd be the first to go.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then maybe me.
And then you, then me, for sure.
But when it comes to survival, I think we all have ideas of like how to survive certain situations. But I found this list of survival myths. Things that we believe and have heard a million times. And I looked through this list and I believe every single one of them until today.
Is running in a zigzag pattern from an alligator to break its neck on there?
It totally was one of them.
Yeah. To break its neck?
Yeah. There was, when I was a kid, there's a myth that alligators can run fast. They can run like 30 miles an hour on the land for short periods of time.
Uh-huh.
They have little legs. The myth was if you ran in a zigzag pattern, they would try to follow you and then they would like break their neck. Because they're smarter than that. They run straight while you're zigzagging, and they catch you on a zig when you're zagging and you're done.
But like you said, they have very low stamina.
Yes.
So the best part of surviving an alligator is just don't fall down.
Right.
That's like the one thing you need to focus on.
Outrun it a little longer. Okay. What else made this list? I'm fascinated.
There's the punching a shark in the nose.
Okay.
Apparently is not true. That's what I've heard every single time is if you're fighting a shark, which I pray to God that we're never in that situation.
Yeah, again, he would die.
Yeah. So they say to go for the eyes or the gills.
Okay, yeah, like thumbs to the eyes. Oh, kind of the same thing in like an attack situation. Yeah,
but you're right by the mouth.
Oh. Okay, if you're stranded on a desert island, they say don't build a raft because you're more likely to die at sea than you are to die on the island. You should really work on finding resources and building a shelter and drawing the big SOS in the sand.
Shelter and water. Shelter, water, fire. Those are the things you need in a survival situation.
Yeah, but Tom Hanks on Castaway.
Just a movie.
It is just a movie.
Because the water is your problem. Like when you get out to sea and you get like in the currents, you can get out of shipping lanes. You can get so far away, and without the water, it is an excruciating time for you.
Yeah,
that's not a way to go. Not a way to
then
go.
Then overcoming
at all.
Like the waves that are just barreling at you as you're trying to get out seems impossible. Okay,
all right, last one.
This one surprises me, and I don't know if I'm going to change what I do with this. It says, if you're driving and see a tornado and hide under an overpass.
I've always heard that.
They say don't do that because the wind is actually going to be more dangerous as it goes through this funnel that is the overpass. And so those winds are still going to be very strong as they go through the tunnel.
Because I've heard get up underneath the bridge at the very
top of the overpass.
You heard that too?
Yes.
Okay. The other thing I've heard is you get into a ditch. You lay in a ditch
point. But that didn't make sense to me because if a tornado comes over my body, it's going to take me.
But you're in the ditch. Like the theory is like it would be a lower pressure and it would skip over you kind of thing.
Oh.
So there you go. Well,
it's not a funnel.
I think this is all helpful. Hopefully somebody tomorrow can tell us that one of these things paid off for them and they survived because of what they heard here on the Wally Show. And hopefully it's Gavin.
No, I don't want to be the one.
Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. And naming your pet is tricky sometimes because you want to, like your kid, you want to give it the best name. And sometimes names can be a little deceiving. Like Betty Rock, what is the name that you gave your cat?
Beans.
Okay. Like I would have thought if you had said, "Oh, I got this new animal and I'm naming him Beans," I would have thought that you got like an Asian palm civet. An Asian palm civet. It's a little animal that roams the forests in Bali and it eats coffee beans. And then it digests them and then it expels them and they make the world's most expensive coffee out of that.
Really? Ew.
I'm not making this up. Yeah. So I would have thought
that'd be a great name for one.
Yeah, it would actually. And so I want to do this. Like I want you to tell us the name of your animal, just the name, and we will try to guess what kind of animal that you have. Because sometimes names are real obvious, but sometimes you try to be, you know, clever and give your pet a really creative name. Like I had a pet named Trooper. Trooper
sounds like a dog, like one that's seen some battlefields.
No, sadly, it was just a cat. Like, like I wish it was like an iguana or something. But no, just a cat. So I am curious. And try to stump us. This is a lot of fun, too. If you've got like a bizarre animal, I would love that. That would be great. 855-33-WAY-FM. See if we can guess the pet just by the name and try to guess what kind of odd pet you have. 855-33-WAY-FM. What's the name?
The name is Toots.
And that's what Betty Rock's nickname is for her, from her dad.
Yeah, my dad calls me Tootie Toot Blossom.
Yeah, so.
Toots.
And maybe for the same reason that I think you have a Shetland pony because they're gassy. And so that's what I'm going to say. That's what Toots is a Shetland pony that's gassy like Betty.
I think it's a pet pig.
Oh, that's good.
And it might get into the garbage a little bit. Might have an issue with
it. Intestinal problem.
It's got a tender tummy.
Aw.
All right, so what kind of pet is Toots?
A polydactyl cat that had 23 toes.
Ooh,
that's
so
awesome.
His name was Toots for too many toes.
Oh, that's so great.
That's creative.
Yeah, he actually won me tickets to see the Rolling Stones.
How'd he do that? Because he had extra toes, he could dial the phone faster.
Exactly.
Be the ninth caller now.
So, Skylar, you're up. What do you got?
Meatball.
That is a great name for an animal.
Okay.
It seems like that would be a dog name, you know, like
it
right off
does.
The surface. But I think Skylar, how old are you, Skylar?
11.
I think Skylar's going to have a different kind of animal.
I think it's a lizard.
Oh, that's a good
name.
And
it's brown, so it looks like a meatball.
I'm going to say you went with a parrot. For some reason. I don't think it makes any sense. I have no logical reason for
meatball
it whatsoever.
Meatball the parrot.
Yeah, Meatball the parrot. All right, Skylar, what is your animal named Meatball?
It is a duck.
A duck named Meatball? That's so great!
Where'd you come up with that name, Skylar?
Well, we have meat ducks, so we just decided to name one of them Meatball.
Well, that got less cute, you know? So what is it?
His name is... The general.
The general. Okay, it's a he. He's very commanding. And I'm thinking that this could be ironic though too. Like he seems big and powerful, but it could be really small.
And he cowers in fear.
I'm gonna say it is a garden snake, like a green snake, one of those little tiny ones.
I'm gonna say it's a teddy bear hamster.
Ooh.
They're cute, and they'd look cute in a little general's hat.
That would look really cute. Are either of us right there, Teresa?
No, I'm sorry. Ah. He was actually a loach fish, and he got his name in a really unusual way. I had his tank next to the sink to clean it, and when I walked back into the kitchen, he was gone.
Oh.
And I found him in the sink. He had landed in the garbage disposal.
Oh!
And so, luckily, I saw that he was down in there both times and pulled him out. Well, it was a General Electric garbage disposal, so we named him the General.
Oh, I love that. That's really great. All right, Gina, you're up. Give us the name of your pet. We'll try to guess what it is. What do you got?
Okay, our pet's name is Scout.
Scout. Now, that sounds like a good dog name, you know, like, hey, Scout, come here, Scout. But that might be a little too obvious. So,
right.
Betty Rock, what kind of animal do you think Scout is?
I'm going to think it's one of those lizards that its eyes kind of like can go back and forth.
In different directions?
Yeah, because it's scouting out the territory.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good guess.
I was along the same lines with an owl, because an owl can turn a tent 180
yes.
degrees.
Oh, how cute to have a pet owl.
All right, Gina, what is it?
So, our pet is a leopard gecko.
Oh,
hey,
you
I
were
close.
Yes.
You were very close, yes.
How did he get the name Scout?
My son is very much into, like, all things military.
Has Scout ever gotten out and, like, you had to look for him in the house?
Yes, actually. He does like to scout around, and he usually hangs out in our hoodies, though, so he's a good guy.
Oh, that would creep me out. That I got to be honest with you, that would completely creep me out. If I found a lizard in my hoodie, Scout would no longer be on this earth, you know? If someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club.
These are the least important stories out of Hollywood, but nonetheless entertaining. Here's Betty Rock with the least of these.
The top-rated reality singing competition show American Idol has signed on for a 20th season.
Wow. Is Seacrest still hosting?
Yes.
Ugh. I mean, great. Yay.
I think it's great that he still hosts because he's moved on to bigger and better things, but yet he still comes back and graces us with his presence.
He's so needed in that scenario.
Well, it looks like they're going to be changing things up a bit to add some spice to the 20th season. They're adding something called the Platinum Ticket.
Oh, because they had the Golden Ticket before.
That's right, and they still do. Okay. But this is, as Katy Perry, a judge.
That'd be a great name for a pet, Katy Perry.
Katy Perry,
yeah,
it
if
would.
You had a parrot.
But she's a judge. She explains what the Platinum Ticket means. She said it gives contestants who stand out above the rest automatic entry to Hollywood Week and to observe their competition, which would be other contestants who hadn't received a platinum ticket but got to Hollywood Week the hard way by competing each week. But platinum ticket holders would get to watch from the box seats at the theater and strategize which contestant they'd like to go head-to-head with and duet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because then that way you can give yourself an advantage. You know, if you pick someone that maybe isn't quite, that doesn't have the chops that you might have.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah. American Idol has tried to morph. I remember when it first started, the big crux of it all was make fun of people that can't sing, you know, like William Hung and some of these other people. But then they found a formula, you know, a few years back where like the making fun of the bad singers ran its course, and they really started focusing on stories and backstories and it's good, but it's also bad because a lot of times, like some mediocre singer has this great story, and they get through more rounds than they would have otherwise.
And then when they're done, their albums do nothing.
Yeah, and they're just done. You know, but I do like the storytelling of it, and I like that it is more redeeming, if you will, because they are focusing on better things than just making fun of people.
And you know who I think we need to thank for all that?
Who?
Ryan Seacrest.
Nope, not at all. Nope.
He is just a gift.
He's ancillary. Honestly, like you got the three judges.
A breath of fresh air.
Now, I don't think he's needed anymore. It's kind of like on America's Got Talent having Terry or whoever hosting that. You don't need the host, I don't think.
A light in a dark world.
Now you're just being mean. All right. Well, you know what? I actually want to play a little game with this, okay? With some artists that have come out of American Idol. And so I'll explain that here in 10 on the Wall. Wally Show. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And American Idol has been a great show for discovering Christian artists. And what's kind of cool about this is like a bunch of kids grow up singing in church and things. And then, you know, when you're young, before you're playing out in clubs or whatever, you know, like this is one of the venues where you are. And so these kids being younger on American Idol, you know, are there auditioning and, you know, you hear about their faith. And then some of them go on to become, you know, high placers in American Idol, winners. And I'm curious if you can name Christian artists that have come out of American Idol. Okay, so the way this is going to work is you're going to take on Betty Rock, and we're going to ping pong back and forth. She'll name one, you name one. She'll name one, you name one, until neither one of you can name one or you repeat somebody, okay? It could be a very fast game.
It could, because I'm sitting here trying to think.
Okay.
I think I stopped.
Don't say anybody, though.
Oh, I won't, but I think I stopped watching American Idol around season 3.
Oh, wow. You could school Betty here and win a prize. Because here's the thing, though. I'm going to be a little strict on it. It's going to have to be artists that have come out and they're doing, like, Christian music now, okay? That's what this is. So it's not like Jordan Sparks, for example.
What about her?
She is not technically a Christian artist.
Oh,
like, she's not releasing Christian. Like, she was for a little bit. She had a couple songs or whatever. Or, you know, like Jason Castro. Well, I guess he's a Christian, but there are people on the show. There are a lot of people on the show that were talking about their faith and were Christians, but they're not necessarily signed to a Christian label and doing that. I think Jason Castro, I'd have to look that one up.
Can I get first guess?
No.
What?
I'm going to make it hard on you. Because that means Betty has one guess, right?
Oh, true.
Yeah, All right, so that's going to be the rules. That's how we're going to play. 855-33-WAY-FM. If you want to take Betty on right now, 855-33-WAY-FM. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. Tara, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Wally?
Good. Now, we were talking about American Idol and their new platinum ticket thing, and it got me to thinking, a lot of Christian artists got their start on American Idol. Well, not a ton, but some.
Yes, they did.
And so we're going to do this game here. We're going to ping pong back and forth between you and Betty Rock and see who can name the most Christian artist to come out of American Idol. Now, I'm going to be a little bit sticky on it, where it's got to be artists that, you know, we've heard on Christian radio per se, you know, that like this is their thing. It's not like they just threw out one godish kind of song, you know. We're gonna start with you. We're gonna let you go first, because I think Betty Rock only has one in her quiver.
Okay,
so here we go. You're gonna ping pong back and forth. Tara, go.
Danny Gokey
is absolutely right. That was one. Betty Rock.
Colton Dixon.
Oh, that is very true. Colton Dixon, definitely a great Christian artist. We're playing music from both of those guys. Back to you, Tara.
Mandisa.
I think that was the only one that Betty knew.
I didn't even think of that one.
You didn't think of Mandisa?
No.
Oh, come on now.
What about Chris Stapleton? No, that's not his
Chris
name.
Chris Stapleton's a country singer.
No. Start over. Wait, Carrie Underwood.
Nope, I'm sorry.
Come on, that doesn't count.
She's a country singer.
That water song we played here.
Yeah, but she is a country singer. Would you not agree, Tara?
She came out with a gospel album.
Doesn't matter.
I agree.
Of course you would.
Yeah, she's great. She goes to my church. She's a Christian, but she's not.
Oh, so we're judging people's faith now?
No, I didn't say that.
I see.
I said she is a Christian, but she's not on a Christian label. She's
an amazing artist.
Yeah, exactly. Tara gets it. You could have gone with Lauren Daigle. She was on American Idol.
Yeah, that was my next one.
Was it? There
that
you go.
That was my next one.
And Betty, come on. Dial that back.
I'm not bitter at all.
Yeah. Bitter party of one. All right. Well, Tara, you are the big winner today. Congratulations.
Congrats.
Thank you so much.
You may have heard something in a song on Way FM that sounds like it's from the Bible and wondered, where's that at? Well, wonder no more.
So today we're going to look at the new song by CeCe Winans and Lauren Daigle. It's called Believe For It. The big hook, but there was another part of this song that I kind of like resonated with, and so this is the part we're going to look at, like, where is this in the Bible?
There is power in your name, so much power in your name.
And you know how we talk a lot about the power of God and the power in his name, and I think we tend to mainly think of this as his ability to like solve all our problems. You know, it's like, oh, there's power in your name, Lord. You can solve this thing I'm facing. And while that's true,
we are thinking he'll solve it the way we want him to solve it.
But it's so much bigger than that. Like in Acts 4:12, it says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That's power. Like the power that, you know, can give you eternal life is power. And that name is so powerful. It's also, yes, it's the name that gives you peace in chaos. It's the name that gives you the ability to forgive the unforgivable and live a life filled with joy. And those are just a few things of tapping into the power of God's name. But I think we forget that at its core, the base level, the power of God's name is the transformative, life-changing ability or gift to give us everlasting life. And so if you've ever wondered about it, that's where it is. Acts 4:12. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. So you come around a new year and you're like, man, I'm going to make some changes this year. And so you start all these things and you make lists and everything. And a lot of them are physical things. I'm going to get into better shape. I'm going to work out. I'm going to run more. I'm going to jog to the fridge instead of walk. You know, the big stuff.
Yes.
But a lot of times we don't think about the mental side of things, about making changes mentally. And here's a real easy mental shift that you can make by taking our 21-day challenge. And what this involves is you just listening to WayFM for 21 days. And at the end of that 21 days, see how it's changed you mentally and in your heart and inside. Because I submit to you that if you are putting the things of God into your heart and soul constantly, it's going to have an impact.
You know, and I, this year, I've been trying to read the Bible chronologically, but I think you still need on top of that, you know, that dose of just constant reminders of the truth. And I think that's what you can get when you listen to Way FM those 21 days. You can see that difference.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is, like you're saying, it's a constant reminder. It's just kind of maintenance. And I've noticed it in myself. I started doing it too because I listen to a lot of different type of music. And also, I hear the songs all day, every day at work. And so sometimes I want to step out away from it. And so, like, I find myself, as I'm driving, I'll get frustrated with somebody, and then I'm listening to songs. So, all right, don't. That doesn't match. Your actions don't match what you believe and what you want to be. And so I find that. And I just found the other day, I was driving home. I wasn't even mad at anybody, but I was just, I was a little happy, like, for no reason. Like, like a little bit of just joy in there. And I was like, it's weird. And it felt weird, but I think it's because I've started listening every day. I'm taking the challenge with you.
And you can join the challenge when you send the word day, D-A-Y, to 91979. When you do that, you'll get a form sent to you, and all you got to do is fill out some information, and you're going to want to do that because when you do, you'll be entered to win a $1,000 gift card.
Nice.
I mean, who couldn't use $1,000 just to be handed to you for doing something good for yourself?
Yeah, doing something that you could do every day, and it's so easy to do. It's our 21-day challenge, and we'd love to have you be a part of it with us.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.